This is the Lacrosse Strength Podcast. And welcome to the show. This is Pete Kanigas from lacrossestrength.com. Flying solo tonight. No guests because I have a few things on my mind. I just wanted to get them out there and discuss them with you. I'm not sure where you guys are all from, but I'm in the Northeast, specifically in New Jersey. And at this time of the year, we're about 2 weeks into lacrosse season, and this is the time where people start to break down and really feel it as far as getting some injuries. The biggest things that I'm seeing so far this year are quad strains by far, but also potentially some shin pain. And some knee problems, whether it be patellotendinitis or patellofemoral pain. So those are the kind of things that can pop up usually towards the last part of the first week and into the second week of the preseason. Now, as for why this occurs, there's typically a whole host of reasons. You could have kids coming in who have not done anything over the wintertime, and they're just totally deconditioned. So the volume of work that they're doing right now is too much for their body to be able to handle, and the pain and the breakdown they get is their body's way of saying, "Oh, too much too soon." Other kids who are probably playing indoors over the wintertime, whenever they get injured at this point in time, they're totally confused. They want to figure out what in the world's happening because they've been working all along and they don't quite understand. I think what typically happens, though, is when you're playing games indoors, I typically think the intensity is just a little bit less. Also, at this time of year, the coaches are so gung-ho, and I think what ends up happening is the workouts end up being at a much higher intensity, higher volume of sprinting than they're used to over the wintertime. So again, it's a matter of too much too soon for some of those athletes. They just don't realize it. The third group of athletes who simply have a muscle imbalance, whether it's they have a group of muscles who are not working properly or are probably not as efficient as others. You can also have muscle imbalances in different parts of the body that could affect the lower extremities as well. Now, what I'd like to do is take a step back and discuss muscles in the first place, muscles in general. What are we talking about when we discuss muscles? Your muscular system from head to toe is basically one humongous bag with different thickenings, different strengths, different amount of elasticity, different amounts of plasticity to it as well. And within those bags are your muscle cells, the actual contractile tissue of the cells. I ended up learning this from a great book that I'm in the middle of reading right now. Actually, I'm almost finished with it. It's called Anatomy Trains. It's very, very interesting book, high-level book. I'll put a link to it, to the book on my website. Again, it's Anatomy Trains. I think it's anatomytrains.net, something like that. It's written by Thomas Myers, who is a manual therapist. He's actually a Rolf certified therapist, and that's basically a technique. Rolfing is a manual technique to break up scar tissue and relieve some stress within that bag. Now, the bag is called fascia, and fascia is found throughout the body, again from head to toe. Fascia actually surrounds all of the connective tissue. It is the connective tissue. So since this is one huge bag, if you have a thickening in one area of the body, it could actually inhibit movement, inhibit contraction, inhibit flexibility to other areas of the body. All right, it's all interrelated. Your body's totally connected, which is different from how we actually learned anatomy. I mean, when you go back into the anatomy texts, and when we learned it either back in high school or in college, they basically broke everything down. This individual muscle attaches here, this individual muscle attaches there. And when you talk about action of each muscle, this muscle does this, this muscle does that. Your quadricep extends the knee. Your quadricep, your rectus femoris can extend the knee, can also flex the hip. Your bicep flexes the elbow, can also, you know, forward flex the shoulder, that type of thing. It tells you exactly, you know, hey, I think that was the easiest way for us to learn it. The problem is it's really not how the body actually works. Everything, every movement has a consequence to other areas of the body because of this humongous network of fascia. So what does that mean in real world terms? I've got a bunch of girls right now who have quad strains. I think what's going on is that locally around the quad, around the area of their strain, they're feeling a certain amount of stress. And I think that is due to other areas a little bit higher, I believe, that are not working quite as well, whether they don't have the proper tension, they're not generating enough tension. A lot of times what happens with quad strains, your psoas, although it may be active, is not strong enough. So your psoas being the main hip flexor, above 90 degrees of hip flexion, if that's not working properly, then you're going to get a lot more work coming from the rectus femoris, which is basically the main muscle of your quad that is getting strained. And because the quad is overworked, well, you're going to end up getting a lot more stress, a lot more strain to that area, and you'll end up breaking down and getting a quad strain. Now, that same lack of strength can be transposed to other areas of the body as well. If you have a lack of strength in the muscles in your shin, you could end up with a tendonitis down there, otherwise known as shin splints, shin pain, or medial tibial stress syndrome, which is stress to the lower leg, which could end up developing into a stress fracture. The same thing with the knee. If your quadricep muscles are not working at the proper timing with the proper strength, your patella probably isn't gliding properly, which can cause patellofemoral symptoms, pain, swelling. You could also develop some symptoms of patellotendinitis as well, just an inflammation of the patellar tendon. So all of those things can occur if your bodies are not prepared for the stresses that we would require to play the sport. So the question is now, what do we do about it? How can we prevent it? Over the last week, I had a few athletes not quite understand why they're getting injured because they stretch so much before practice. And the whole idea is stretching or increasing tissue length is one thing, but you also need to worry about tissue density as well. And the way we deal with that is through foam rolling, using a roller or a stick. What it ends up doing is it lessens the density of the fascia that surrounds your muscle tissue and allows for a greater amount of local blood flow to the area. You'll get a decrease in pain. You'll also get more response neurologically. Now, when I say stick, there's an actual product out there called the stick, and basically it's like a funky looking rolling pin that what you can do is just rub it up and down on a muscle, all right? Usually about 8 to 10 passes, and what that will do is actually break up the density of the fascia. And in the Anatomy Trains book, they give you an example of the inside of a grapefruit. If you look at the inside of a grapefruit, you've got all sorts of different little pockets of juices. And that's basically what happens in the muscles as well within that fascial system, is that you'll get these little pockets of blood and of mitochondria and other portions of the cell. And what the rolling does is it just kind of breaks up that those little pockets to allow better blood flow in the area. To allow for a better usage of the muscle. What I'll do is I'll put a link on our little show notes on the website, lacrossestrength.com, for the stick. I'll also put a link for to be able to purchase a foam roller as well. Okay. So when an injury does occur, I'm a big believer in stretching and foam rolling and using the stick and that type of thing. Also, it's really important that you rest the area because, especially at this time of year, we really don't have an important game probably for another 3 weeks. So it's imperative that you get the injury healed as quickly as possible. And if you go back out there and just keep trying to stress it and test it and test it and test it, it's just not going to heal very quickly. So it's important that you do activities that are comfortable, that you're able to continue doing, working on your stick skills, doing slide stuff, depending on what your injury is. Any type of activity that you're able to do pain-free is important to continue to participate in. Once you start getting to the area of pain, then you're not making yourself any better, possibly even making yourself worse. I'm a big believer in ice for the first 48 to 72 hours. After that, I'm a big believer in using heat, especially in the muscles. If we're talking about quad strains, that type of thing, or hamstring strains, I'm a huge believer in using heat. About 10, 15 minutes of heat before practices, before stretching, before the foam rolling, all right? What that will end up doing is help to increase blood flow to the area as well. Other than that, with patellofemoral stuff and patellar tendonitis, shin pain, that type of thing, I'm really just a big believer of sticking with ice. I don't add heat to those areas just because I haven't found that they respond very well. The athlete will say immediately afterwards, ooh, the heat feels good, because it does kind of feel good. But I don't find that the heat treatment actually helps them out in the long run. I haven't found that it really changes their recovery time. So I typically stick with ice, especially with shin pain. I do ice before and after practices. Knee pain, ice before and after practices as well. I'll give them ice for a full 20-minute treatment. Afterwards, if they're going to be at home, I ask them to put on ice for 20 minutes and then give themselves a good hour, hour and a half off just to thaw out a little bit, all right? If you keep ice on for too long, your body starts to think that it's going to freeze to death, and the reverse of what you're looking for actually happens. What you're trying to do is cut down on swelling and cut down on blood flow and that type of thing. And if you keep the ice on for too long, the body goes into a self-preservation mode and actually opens up your capillaries, which is not exactly what we're looking for. So how do we try to prevent these types of injuries in the first place? I'm a big believer in a multi-dimensional approach with this. A good warm-up is extremely important. Doing foam rolling, using the stick. I tend to use the lacrosse ball on your feet, on the bottoms of your feet. Again, I told you that the fascia goes from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. What I would do is have the athlete take off their shoes and actually roll their foot on top of a lacrosse ball for about a minute. And what that does is that will help stretch out some of the fascia along the bottom of the feet as well. Another technique you can use is to adhere to what's called the 10% rule. The 10% rule is increasing the volume of your work 10% per week as you go throughout your season. Now, hopefully your athletes will come into your preseason time in a decent enough shape so that going by 10% is okay. Now, I've seen some coaches get away with going a lot further than that, 15%, 20%, 30% per week. But what ends up happening is you're increasing the amount of muscle pulls and increasing the amount of injury for your players. Now, my warm-up is a dynamic or active-based warm-up. What we try to do is just get the blood flowing, get the muscles moving as best as possible. We try to activate the nervous system as best as we can to try to prepare the body for activity. Actually, a few years ago, I came up with a CD-ROM of some basic drills, basic warm-ups, warm-up activities. And I've added and subtracted since that time. And actually, this summer, I plan on putting out a volume 2 of that. What we'll try to do is we'll take some video of the Pride going through their warm-up drills. I guess we'll try to get a camera down to one of our practices, and we'll just take video of the first 10, 15 minutes of practice just to show you what kind of warm-up drills that we're doing currently. Some of the drills are the same. Some of it have added a lot of stuff, but I think it'll give you guys a good look at how to integrate our warm-up drills into a practice session. And for those of you who purchased my Volume 1, What I'll end up doing is I'll just send you volume two just as a kind of an update. You guys won't have to purchase it. I'll just mail volume two right out to you. If anybody would like to purchase volume one, actually, you know what I'm gonna do? I've got a few of them left over. What I'll do is I'll give everybody a 50% discount. Everybody who this podcast, you guys will be special. What you can do is go to lacrossestrength.com, LacrosseStrength.com/promo. And what I'll do is I'll place a little box up on top of the page to put in a code. We'll make the code warm up. One word, lowercase letters, WARMUP. You put in that code and you'll get the discount. If you don't put in the code, you won't get the discount. And what I'll do is I'll have the volume one CD-ROM up there. The volume one CD-ROM, it's like a 10 minutes long of a few drills that you guys can use to put into your warm up. It's just some different ideas. I filmed the thing about two years ago now. Again, I think the drills are still good drills. I think that they're still very relevant. But there are some other things that I'm going to be putting together for volume two. If you purchase volume one now through the promo, I'll send you out volume two when I get it done this summer. So you'll basically end up getting two separate CDs. I guess for the price of half of one. So again, if you go right now to lacrossestrength.com/promo and purchase the volume one of the CD-ROM, and it'll give you some decent ideas. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you participated through a click on our website, thanks a lot. Please consider joining our subscription on iTunes. And if you have any questions for me regarding anything, you can send me an email at pete@lacrossestrength.com. I'll talk to you soon.